looking at this big crowd of some 5,000 or 6,000 faithful praying. Looking at these 300 priests present, the sisters, the religious, seeing the seriousness of these persons, they start to recontact. And there was the first meeting at the time between the four bishops of the society and Cardinal Hoyos. Truma, after long years of some way persecution, the society would say, "We don't trust you. We first want to see clear signs that you are positive towards tradition." And so there were two conditions fixed to make sure that Rome really wants the good for tradition. So we know these two preconditions and prelates were, first of all, the liberation of the West for all priests, and the second one, the lifting of the decree of the excommunication. This was in the year 2000. And I can tell you, many people, for example, one of my faithful, a contractor, he said to me, "Father, what the bishop is asking, what the society is asking, it's an exaggeration. Never Rome will do this for you." And he said, "I'm the boss in my company. If one of my employees would come up to me with similar conditions, if he would say, 'I will work for you if you do this and that,' I would just tell him, 'Listen, I don't need you.' I would just send him away." This was what many people were feeling, thinking, when the society state fixed these conditions. And the contacts between Rome and the society went on. There were regular contacts, once, twice, sometimes three times a year, but that's it. And in 2006, during the general chapter of the society, looking at the situation between the society in Rome, the general chapter, first of all, renewed the declaration, the famous declaration of Archbishop Lefebvre from the year 1974, stating clearly that the society will always fight against the novelties of Vatican II, will always fight against the loss of faith. And the society stated, decided to start the first crusade of the Rosary. And the first crusade of the Rosary just wanted to collect 1 million rosaries. And the goal was fixed. We want to pray these rosaries for the freeing up of the mix of the mass, to make and to help, here with the graces from heaven, that the Pope, that Rome, would give the right to every priest to say the mass. And this rosary crusade was announced in 2006, Schleimer, after the general chapter, and it was started. And more or less immediately, there was the first announcement that the Pope was ready to free up the mess. But now it took some time. It was the first announcement in October 2006, the second one in December 2006, finally in July 2007, there was issued the Voto Proprio Summorum Pontificum, which said that every priest could say the old mass, that every priest could use the traditional breviary, that every faithful had the right to ask, for example, that the child would be baptized in a traditional rite, that the children could receive the sacraments, the sacrament of confirmation, in these rites, that for the blessings of objects, every priest could use the traditional rituals. Sure, this document is not perfect. And we would have liked that the Pope would not, never have spoken about these two rites, the extraordinary rite and the ordinary rite. But it was a big step. And we know that not all the bishops in the world, they are in favor of this document. And we know that oftentimes they make it difficult for the faithful, difficult for the priests to celebrate or to assist the Mass in the traditional rite. But it was a positive step. Once this first condition was fulfilled, society started the second rosary crusade. 12 million rosaries and asking for the lifting of the excommunication. Nobody would believe it would happen. And I can tell you, it was in January 2009, when I was over in Europe on a visit. The bishop speak about the situation here in Canada. He told me, Father, crazy things will happen within the next days. And he told me that Rome wanted to lift the excommunication. And he said, Father, Bishop Williamson, he gave an interview Germany 2 months ago. The media withheld this interview for several times. And the media now, knowing that the Pope has wants to lift the excommunication, told him, if you issue a document to lift the excommunication, we will publish this interview. And we will tell all the world that you are behind somebody denying the Holocaust. So Roman, you that this decision to lift the excommunications would be followed by an attack on the Pope and the Church. And nevertheless, the Pope, he would do what we were asking. He would lift the excommunications. Again, there are some imperfections in this document. A step was made. After these conditions were fulfilled, discussions started between Rome and the society. And during 2 years, both sides would get together to explain the different positions, to discuss, for example, collegiality, religious liberty, the magisterium of the church. These discussions helped both sides to see clearly where the other would stand. And it came out that the big discussion, the big point, are the doctrines, the new doctrines of Vatican II. And it was stated afterwards that these differences, they cannot be resolved in short term. And what was nobody was expecting, immediately after these discussions, Rome came up with a document, with a preamble for the society, the gift to the society, juridical structure within the church. Never the society was asking for this. It was coming from Rome. We want to give you a status within the church. We want to give you a place here. What would we suggest to you? And hear our conditions. And you know that Monsignor Burley, he gave two negative answers. This document one, 1st of December last year, and one on the 12th of January of this year. And on the 16th March, the response of Rome was, you have to accept the document. We can rediscuss the conditions, but we ask you for an answer before April 15th. And Monsignor Furler, he answers to Rome that there will never be a discussion about faith, that it is impossible for us to negotiate on the faith, that we always will continue to preach the faith, to criticize the errors. Monsignor first stated also if we would, that we would never accept a solution which would not give the total liberty for the society and an autonomy of action. And it was this document that made that all the media said Bishop Furley accepted a solution from Rome, getting his status. It's not this. Send a document which is studied by Rome. For us, it has to be very clear. The most important in all this for us is the faith. We have to serve God. We have to serve him always better. It's clear for us, whatever happens, we have to guarantee the liberty for the society and to continue to practice our faith. the liberty to preach our faith. But there is also the principle to be Catholic. And to stay Catholic, we have to be Roman. There's no Catholic Church without having Christ on top of it. And there's no Catholic Church where there's no Pope. It's true. There are acts, there are teachings of the Pope, but we have to say, that's not tradition. That's not what we find in Holy Scripture. At this point, we cannot follow him. But does that mean that he's not long ago? Does that mean that there's no point, no moment when Jesus Christ speaks to him? Does that mean that Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost quit Rome? Does that mean that we have the right to say we are the popes? We decide. This idea and this mindset, people saying Rome is just the Antichrist, is the mindset of the non-Catholic. What should we do and what do we have to do? I will give you the opinion of an outsider. As you know, we design the Angelus. And it was a company, has nothing to do with the faith, who helped for this work. And in this company, the director, he's the director for concept and strategy. And when he went to Mansing to see and to speak about the society, after 6 hours of discussion with the bishop, he said, "Monseigneur, the society is wrong. The strategy of the society is wrong. Then what you're doing is what you were doing 20, 30, 40 years ago. When the society started, there was this discussion, for example, the new mass and the old mass. And you were fighting, you were defending yourself. You were oppressed, and you had enemies. And since you were aggressed, you had to defend, and some way you had to aggress. What's over from the church nowadays? Everything you can read about the church is just ruins. Closing of church, priests leaving their ministry, anti-churches. What you're doing today is just fighting on empty ruins. He said, you should start to build. If you explain nowadays to young people, he said, I can give you the example of my own person. I'm a Catholic, but I don't practice anymore. Once I saw the nice pictures of your liturgy, once I could speak with your priest about called the rites of the mass, and they discovered to me the treasures you have, I started the love tradition. That's what you have to do. You have to build, and you have to stop the battle in empty ruins. What we have to do is to pay attention not to fall in the errors of the council. You know, this week, for example, were published letters which has been sent from three bishops of the society to Monsignor Fölling, and the answer of the letter, the answer of Monsignor Fölling, published on the internet. Just the point of moral theology. If you write me a letter which is confidential, it's your letter, and I will post it in the back of the church, I'm pretty sure you will not be very content. And I can tell you, for me, it would be a mortal sin. A letter to me, sent as a confidential, private letter, I have no right to publish it. And if I want to publish it, I have to ask permission of the person who sent it. I have no idea who put these letters on the internet. But I know the person who did commit a sin. And a grave sin. And in some way, if I wouldn't be in charge of the faithful here in Canada, I would never read his letters. Because they are not destined to me. When I see some faithful, see the reactions of some faithful, even sometimes priests, it's the error of the council. They are doing collegiality. We are a society, we have a superior general, it's our superior, and it's up to him to make decisions. It's not up to the faithful. It's not up to me. It's therefore that we have a superior. And I can tell you, I'm happy that I don't have this responsibility. You know, this week I received a letter. I read a letter. Somebody, a priest, an old priest, not a member of the society, and he said, "Where's the problem? Where's the problem? Monsignor Fölling is superior general in the society for 80 years." And he said, without wanting to do a bad to Monsignor Fölling, if you're looking on these 18 years of tradition, we can say that in some way Monsignor Fölling had as much success, or perhaps even more success, an Archbishop Lefebvre. And at every point, his decisions, even if people laughed, and now we can say at every point, he he made a good decision. The right decision. And he merits that we trust him. First point, just obey. Just accept. So, we will thank God. We'll see what will happen. But we can be sure he is our good shepherd. For us, the most important thing this time is prayer. And we are at the end of a rosary crusade, which will end Pentecost. Grab your rosary this week. Say it once or twice or three times. Do these prayers that we started to do for the Holy Ghost. That God will give the grace that in this situation that the will of God will happen. That's what we want to ask for today. That we seek refuge in Our Lady, that she will be the one, the Immaculate, who will proceed in this battle and will make that the Immaculate Heart to be victorious in this fight. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.